Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is...
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what we're talking about today?
I would love to.
You already know because I already told
you.
Well,
I have an idea.
No, I already told you. We are looking at today, as we get closer to when this comes out originally. I don't know when you're actually listening to it. Could be sometime down in the future. But when this comes out, we are basically a week away from Good Friday and
right.
Easter and all of those kinds of things.
I know,
this will come out on the Thursday before Good Friday in the year 2024.
In the year 2024. I love how you're qualifying that.
Yeah, well, because you never know.
You're right.
This podcast could exist on the...
In the
great internet
wide
world,
unknown
for
world.
Years. I mean, currently, if it's broadcasted like with a radio wave, if somebody was to do that and it runs out into space, like who knows how far it will go, and you know when people will catch up to it. Anyway,
okay.
We're going to look at the triumphal entry and the cleansing of the temple. Now we've done the triumphal entry before.
We have
way back. It was 50 something episodes ago.
Oh.
I looked it up.
Good for you. That's good.
But these two, a lot of the time, feel like they go together.
Okay.
Unless you're reading the book of John.
Fair.
So the triumphal entry is when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem the last time. Cleansing of the temple is one of the first acts that he does after entering the city. So we're going to look at the two kind of separate. We're going to stay mostly in the book of Luke.
Okay.
And kind of jump out to the other one. So if you're following along and you have a pen, you might want to write all this down if you're not familiar with it. But Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40 is the triumphal entry. And then verses 45 to 48 is the cleansing of the temple.
Quick. Just a quick cleansing.
Yeah. In Mark, it's chapter 11, verses 1 to 10 is the triumphal entry. And verses 15 to 19 is the cleanse.
Hmm.
You'll notice there's little gaps between both of them because there's something else that happens in both. We're going to talk about those.
Okay.
In Matthew.
Luke, or in Mark, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. In Mark and Luke.
Okay.
In Matthew, it's chapter 21, verses 1 to 11 is the triumphal entry. And then verses 12 to 17 is the cleanse. There's nothing in between.
No, in Matthew, right.
In Matthew.
Yeah, yeah.
Now in John, the triumphal entry is in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19.
Okay.
But the cleansing of the temple is in John chapter 2,
interesting,
verse 13 to 22, which is why most theologians believe that Jesus probably cleansed the temple twice.
Interesting.
And personally, I like the John account
of
the temple, and I'll explain that when we get there. But we're going to go the first one. So do you want to read Luke 19, verses 28 to 40?
Sure. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near. Already on the way down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'"
Yeah, so we have this passage, and I mean, the John, the Matthew, and the Mark passages are all very similar on this triumphal entry. There's this, the disciples are sent to get a colt. Jesus rides in on this colt, and one of the first things that I always love to point out is... Go get a young horse or a young donkey that has never been ridden before and then sit on it.
Right.
Let's,
and this would
let's
mean
see
more,
how this
I
works
think,
out for you.
To somebody who is familiar with these kinds of things. Whereas.
Yeah. if you're familiar with rodeos,
animals
and animals, this is where they start bucking and jumping and going wildly crazy because it takes a lot of training,
right,
to get an animal calm enough to sit on and
right,
ride.
Right, I guess, yeah.
While people are yelling and screaming and waving their cloaks and branches and throwing them down in front of it. Like, this is a recipe for disaster if you're riding on something. And what is happening here in the triumphal entry, and we need to remember this because we've just spent all of the Gospels reading about Jesus, the person.
Right.
Right? The interactions,
yep,
the relationships. We see these miracles, and sometimes we forget the high kingly nature that Jesus has with him. He is authority over all things. And in the midst of all of these people realizing who he is in this moment and worshiping him and Hosanna, 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 and they put down the palm branches and they put down their cloaks, Jesus has authority over the donkey to say, you're going to be still. Because nobody else has that authority. Like, there is literally nobody that has that authority.
Well, like with him over the seat,
right?
Too,
like,
right?
Well-trained horses that are in parades will sometimes go
up
all skittishly wild, and like super-trained cowboys trying to ride them have hard time staying on them.
Love that. Super-trained. Is that like an official?
Yeah, super-trained. Super-trained. So you get this idea, all of a sudden you realize, like, here is the king.
Yeah.
And you know, there's prophetic word where he will ride in on a colt.
Yeah,
so
right,
there is feeling that. But more than that, the people of Israel at that time wanted a king to come and do one thing.
Yes.
And that was what?
To free them Roman rule.
You got to remember that we sometimes forget, as we're reading all of these gospel stories, the Hebrew people are subjects.
Yeah.
They are not quite slaves, but they also don't quite have
freedom
and religious standing. The way the Romans did things, where they would give people groups their own autonomy in some leadership until it got into the world of Roman rule, and
right,
then they were subjects of the Romans.
Right.
You do as we tell you, or we exterminate you.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Kind of thing. So they couldn't have a king.
Yeah.
Not that they chose.
No.
They had Herod and Pilate that were installed by the Romans over them. And so there was this weird sympatheticness, and we're going to see that as we get into the crucifixion and the trials. Like, mm-hmm, there's this Jewish part to it, but there's also this Roman part to it.
Right.
And they've got to wrestle that through. But here you understand the people are saying, our king has arrived, but he's coming in on a colt, not a stallion.
Mm.
And so after war in that time of the world, if you were the conquering king, you came in on a war horse.
Well, and they wanted a warrior. Right?
If you were a defeated king, you came in on a donkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's one of these things that we kind of need to wrestle through and kind of dip into our memory and think, you know, what exactly is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus is showing that he's the king.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's showing that he's not the king quite that the people are
expecting.
Well,
he's breaking all of their preconceived ideas about king and what they wanted and who he was and who he is.
Yeah, exactly. And so here we've got this thing, and he's riding the colt. They're coming in. The people are putting down their cloaks and the palm branches, right? That if you're part of a church that, you know, on Passover Sunday, they give you the cloak and do all that kind of stuff, or they give you the little cross made out of palm branches and those kinds of things for the king or for the kids. And the idea is because they're shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Like, they're praising Jesus, they're worshiping him. And on that entry, you start to realize that everything that Jesus is about to do over the next few days is about the fact that he is Lord. He is king, and that people are to worship in a certain way.
Right, yeah.
So in this moment, up until now, he's always been telling them, hey, whoa, it's not my time yet.
That's right.
Don't worship, like, keep this a secret. Don't worship. And now he's like, it's on.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing this week.
I'm revealed.
And this week is a spiritual battle,
which
leads to a physical death,
which
leads to a spiritual victory.
Victory, yes.
Our king is going to win, but this isn't the end of the battle, right?
Right.
So we have this reality. Now, here in
Luke.
In the Luke passage, he gets to the end and the Pharisees are like, you can't do this because this is blasphemy, right?
Yeah,
this
is
what's going to get him killed, is that he's coming in and letting the people worship him like God, proclaim him as king. And the Pharisees are like, this is going to upset the balance of power. The Romans are going to be upset. But they say, like, you got to stop your people. And Jesus says, no.
Yeah.
If we stop them,
yeah,
the rocks are going to sing out.
Yeah.
And now, we watch a lot, like our kids are older. They don't watch all the cartoons.
No,
but it's amazing
adults.
To me how many children's cartoons have speaking rocks and trees.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And all those kinds of things. And it's actually because intrinsically inside of us, we know that
that's a real
reality.
Yeah.
Like the rocks and the trees will worship God if we don't.
Yeah.
And so we have to wrestle that through here, as Jesus says, you know, if we don't, nature will worship.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize, okay, so he's coming as a king, he enters as a king, but this next little bit, this next little few days is going to be about how we worship Jesus.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So as we go on, we got to skip over the first thing that happens is right after this in the Luke account is Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because he looks at Jerusalem and says, like, this is, you're going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Like not a stone will be sitting on top of each other. And he's looking at the city, which is the center of his people. And he's saying, you know what?
You're going to be destroyed.
Something different is going to happen here.
Yeah.
Not only is the temple going to be torn into, the temple veil, and the whole system of worship is going to change here in the next day or in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
This whole city is going to, the way it is now, is going to be taken apart. And even if you look at it now, we don't have a temple to go to.
No.
There's a wall that you can get to, but the 35-acre area of land is not there.
And
it's there, but not there.
Well, as Jews, they don't have that anymore either. Like,
yeah.
But Jesus changed all that for those of us
changes it all, right?
In Him.
And that's in that worship, right? The way we worship God changes.
Yes.
In what Jesus is doing in this week.
But I think in that, in 41 to 44, we see his heartbreak over Israel just missing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Now, if you.
And the consequences of that.
It's a different heartbreak if you look at the Mark account.
Oh, yeah.
Because the in between, it's the fig tree. And as he's riding on riding into the city and he wants a fig, but there is no fig tree, there is no fig on the tree. So he curses it and it dies.
Right.
And he's saying, what is he saying? He's like,
I want to talk about forgiveness.
What God wants is there for him.
Yeah.
Right? So we're called to actually produce fruit.
Yeah.
And I mean, that imagery doesn't stop. You go to Galatians and
no,
the fruit
of the
Spirit.
No, it's all through Scripture.
It's there. Yeah. It's all through Scripture that we should be producing fruit. Sometimes that's some kind of very real trait or habit in our lives.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's in proclamation of the gospel.
Right.
Sometimes that's in developing and stewarding our children or our family members through faith. Whatever that might be, we are called to have fruit or...
Yeah.
Just like the vines and the branches that were cut off and the ones that didn't bear fruit were burnt in the fire, same with this fig tree. And again, it's a piece of worship.
Yeah.
How do we worship God? Is there a response to God for what he's done, right? So then we end up with the cleansing of the temple.
Right.
So verse 45 to 48. This one's a bit shorter than some of them.
As he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words.
Yeah.
So this is really just the week. He's in there every day just for that week before he goes to the cross. Right.
Yeah, that was his habit, right? When he would come into Jerusalem, he would go in and he would teach.
Mm-hmm.
But he starts off, right? He enters the temple, begins to drive out those who sold anything. So to understand for us what this is happening in other places, it's talking about the temple court of the Gentiles.
Yes.
Okay, so there's the Holy of Holies. So if you got to think about this kind of like a rectangle. There's the Holy of Holies where the priests go in, and that area in the temple, and there's a courtyard around that the priests are allowed to go into. The next one out was the court of the men, so Hebrew men could go into that next court, so the priests would be able to walk through the court of the men into the court of the priests, but the men who aren't priests would be able to go to a certain line.
Yep.
Outside that court was men and women.
Right.
So Hebrew people.
So it was very structured.
Hebrew people could come in that far, so women could get to that wall, but okay. not to the men's yeah. section.
Right.
And then even outside of that was the Gentile spot. So in Jesus' day, if you wanted to come and worship Yahweh, mm-hmm. but you weren't circumcised into the Hebrew faith,
right.
you had to stop in the court of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So it's the place where evangelism happened.
Right.
People would come, and they were like, I've heard about this God. I've heard about this people. I want to see and understand who they are.
Yeah.
So you would go to the court of the Gentiles. Now, this makes it make more sense when Jesus shows up and is like,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
I can't have this.
Yeah. You're misrepresenting.
These people are supposed to be coming to learn yeah. about me. And you are selling stuff
you're
in
here. You're taking advantage of
and
them.
And so we also have to think about what this means. So
okay.
sometimes in churches, you know, we get accused like you can't like do transactions in the, in
oh,
the
yes.
foyer or whatever. You can't have like a, you know, like our church has a debit swipe machine. Some people don't like that.
Oh, interesting.
It's very transactional. It's very oh. not worshipy, right? And yeah, okay, it okay. is. Because I can also use that transaction machine to say, hey, oh, we're doing a fundraiser or we're selling tickets to an event. You can just swipe here. And like it becomes a business thing.
Okay.
What was happening here in the court of the Gentiles was people would come for the different feasts and festivals and they would need to bring a sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
But there was provision if you couldn't afford or right. couldn't get the sacrifice there.
Yeah.
You could buy it.
Right.
But the court of the Gentiles was in the temple and the temple actually had its own money because they didn't want to use Roman money for temple worship.
Right.
So you would have to exchange your money.
Yeah.
And people are greedy.
Yeah.
So the exchange rate was not good. So you needed, you know, you could go out into the market somewhere and buy a lamb in the Roman market with Roman money, and it would cost you less than it would in the temple.
Right.
But when you brought your offering to the temple,
they didn't accept it.
The priests would have to accept it.
Ah.
And they typically, historians are saying typically, you didn't get it accepted.
Right.
But if you went to the court of the Gentiles,
yeah.
you did your exchange rate thing and got ripped off there,
uh-huh.
you now could go over to the pen of pre-approved lambs and buy one there at a higher rate.
But you know that it's going to pass muster.
Yeah. You know it's passed. It's good. And you get to go in and do your sacrifice. So it literally was a perversion of worship.
Right.
And this is where Jesus, you know, Luke is very calm. Enters
Luke
the temple,
is very calm. He's
drives
just
out those who sold.
Reporting on it.
Right? Saying this is how she'll be a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.
Giving
this is
details.
Why this whole yep. exchange and money deal. And then he stays there and teaches. John, as we said before, it's separate from... I'm going the wrong way here in my Bible. Separate from the entry story. It's in chapter 2. It's way
it's
earlier.
Two, right?
But I love the details in it because, like I said... Most people believe that this probably happened twice. And here we go. In John chapter 2, verse 13, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. And then I'm going to synopsis it because this one's long.
It's long, yes.
Right? In the temple, there are people selling ox and sheep, pigeons, money changers sitting there. And my favorite is verse 15. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And I just look around and go, where do you get the cords? Like, you read it in the passage, and, I mean, maybe...
It says he made a whip, of course.
Yeah.
Like, he made it.
I, you know, this is extra-biblical. It's not there. But I can see Jesus looking around going, oh, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
And turning to his disciples and saying, I need your belts. Because their belts would have been cords.
Yeah.
And then he sat down, and he made a whip, and he... overturned tables, spilled the money, drives out the animals. Like, I don't know about you guys. I grew up on a farm. When you have a bunch of animals running in a direction, it is terrifying.
Oh, yeah, I imagine it would
be. To have
them
running down on you. Now, this is in an enclosed area, big stone walls with only one way out. And that way out is the way that people are coming in.
Right.
So this is a stampede of crazy proportions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Now, he drives them all out. He overturns the money tables, all those kinds of things. And it said, you know, his disciples remember that it's written, zeal for your house will consume me.
Mm.
And he's like, they understand, like, here is the prophet of old has arrived.
Yeah.
Right? The king came in on the donkey. The prophet of old is now cleansing the temple and purifying the worship.
Right.
And the priest is going to go to the cross in the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the threefold office of Christ as king, priest, and prophet. And here we understand, or we start to see just how important worship is to Jesus.
Yeah.
And people are always talking about the purity and the sanctity of our worship in our churches and in our lives. And here is an example of when we get it really, really wrong.
Yeah.
It's offensive to God.
Yeah.
Like,
and we need to remember that. We need to think on that.
Yeah.
Like, we need to actually,
like, would Jesus,
think about that.
Would Jesus lose his mind
hmm.
if he showed up and saw the way we do things in church?
Hmm.
Now, we don't have, you know.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, than then.
You know, it is different. And there's different things that we have to sort out. But the purity and the sanctity of what we're doing, the immensity of worshiping God, mm-hmm. needs to rest on us in a way that reminds us of who we're worshiping.
Yeah, we need to search our hearts.
Right?
Right? And our
and
motives.
So these two stories are oftentimes linked together. They are actually side by side in Matthew. They're close yes. to each other in Mark and Luke and, yeah. and John. They're separate because
they
John
are.
Probably isn't telling us the story twice because he'd already told it once.
Mm-hmm. And in detail.
Early on, right? And that's why they're separate. But here we get this idea, like this is about the kingship of God. This is about the prophet nature of purifying worship of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? And the purity of worship that is supposed to be in our everyday understanding.
Right, and so God is looking for, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what he's looking for.
Yeah, yeah. So you realize, like, there's a pretty strong understanding of anything anti-Christian in our world today has no right to be anywhere near what we do.
No.
And
right.
so some people will take that and say, oh, man, then we shouldn't have drums or we shouldn't have guitars.
But those
or we shouldn't have
anything.
No. And that's not what we're talking about. It's talking about, you know, not wanting to step on people's toes. If you have a church where the room is a multi-purpose room,
okay.
What do you do in there all the time? Like, what are the actual activities that you do? If you rent out your building, who will you give the place that you worship God to? What do you actually
what do? You allow
do?
In there?
What do you allow in there, right? So we both know of churches that have places that, you know, if somebody comes in and is willing to pay the rental fee, they can go in there and do yoga.
Yeah,
or
whatever.
They can go in there and have a birthday party and run around screaming and yelling and do whatever. And that in itself can be a problem. If your place of worship just is known as the place that circuses happen,
right.
that everything but worshiping God is the priority, then we have to sort of try to work through what the actions and the attitudes are actually teaching us
yes.
about our worship.
And do we hold it in a high esteem? Do we keep it pure for God and for those times where we come together to worship him? And then even more than that, I think we need to look in our own hearts too.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's why, I mean, we do, you know, the Passion Week, the week like from the, the triumphal entry to the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Well, ascension is later, but death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. That's that week where he comes in and he cleanses the worship of Jerusalem.
Business, right?
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that. This is why we celebrate it yearly. To remind ourselves, and this should be actually a period of time where we stop and we think about the immensity of what Jesus was doing, what it cost him, and how should we rightly respond to it? Like, how do we actually ensure that we're not letting wrong attitudes and actions creep into our right worship of God, of
Jesus?
How
do we keep ourselves set apart for him and his glory?
Yeah.
How do we keep ourselves pure?
And I mean, everybody's going to have slightly different versions of this, but we need to remember that if we don't worship, we will be kind of not, I don't want to say cast aside, but if we do it wrong,
it matters.
Jesus wants to cleanse that temple.
Yeah.
And if we don't use the words and we don't throw down our cloaks and our branches and shout, Hosanna,
give
Hosanna,
him
Hosanna.
The glory.
He says, look, the rocks and the trees will do it for them.
That's right.
And which is also a bypassing of us.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure that we're actually giving our due. So this would be my encouragement to you, if you are sitting out there in listening mode and you're wondering, why do I need to bother going to church? Because
it matters.
Because this is like, in all of those moments, Jesus could have actually went to the cross and never set foot in the temple.
Right.
But he didn't.
He didn't, you're right.
Because the temple is part of the process. And then early in the church, what are we told? Gather together, stay, like Jesus himself says, gather together and stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. And then I want you to keep gathering together.
Right, don't give up meeting together.
Don't give up to meeting together. And when you see something that's not right, you don't have the right to flip tables and whip people.
Right.
But you do have a right to say to people, look, this isn't proper.
Can we get
back to the right heart of worship? Can we get back to that? And so I want to encourage you, if you're disconnected from church, find one.
Yeah.
If you're having a hard time finding one, just keep going. Try new ones. Like if you're not okay with something going on in your church and it's causing you to step away from the body of believers, find a new one. Find a way to get to a place where you can be edified with good teaching from Scripture, solid worship of Jesus, and a place that longs to see growth and development in your life, in your heart, and towards Christ-likeness.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you have enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day, and I hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.